Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Where do you think people... I blanked. Go.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, back to the phones. As promised, we started with a Red Sox, mixed in some of that fight stuff, and we will get to LeBron and the latest in the NBA. Chris Mannix just weighed in on that as well. We'll take your thoughts on all of the above, or whatever the heck that you want. Billy in Waltham, what do you got for Maz?
Hey, how's it going? So, Maz, I usually agree with you, but I think you need to lighten up on Bogey a little bit. He's a little slow coming back off that like ankle thing, or foot thing. But the past few weeks, he's been hitting like 294. He's been picking it up as of late. So I don't think he's been a huge issue.
If I remember right, when he came back, he hit. But go ahead.
He hit like a couple games, and then he went through like a little bit of a slump, and then he's been finding himself lately. Also, I don't get the fascination with why Hanley hasn't gotten picked up. I don't think he's that great. Like, I mean, the guy, what's he going to do for your team? He's going to hit 250.
Billy.
Hit, like, maybe 20-something homers and dog it on defense, dog it around the base. Like, dude, Mitch Moreland gives us a better defensive player.
I'm not telling you I want him. I'm just going to stop you. I'm glad they cut him. I'm not telling you that. I thought that was the right move. How come no one's... Why would anyone pick him up? He's free. And he's a lifetime what hitter in the postseason?
380.
Postseason hitter. Jimmy, did you have to drop that? So annoying. Get your head out of your butt. He's a 380 lifetime hitter, and he's free. Why would anyone pick him up?
Yeah, hey, to me, I wonder what's going on there. Because, again, when you look at it, Hanley's precisely the kind of guy you take a gamble on. Someone else is paying him. There's no option for next year anymore. That's gone. He hits good pitching, and he's got a good postseason record. So he's a little bit of a head case. Maybe a lot. Fine. If he's a head case, you cut his ass. Bill Belichick would pick this guy up if he were a football player. He picked up James Harrison, for crying out loud. He would totally pick up this guy.
He's a 380 lifetime postseason hitter.
380. And you would say, okay, well, that's from early in his career. Last year, he hit over 500 in the postseason. I don't have the number in front of me. I want to say it was like 537 or something that he hit in the series against the Astros.
So doesn't it lead you to believe that there is something else going on here?
Maybe. Yes.
He's just too toxic to touch.
Yes.
I mean, we've heard some wacky stuff.
Yes.
Here, so.
And that's what I think's going on. I think there's a big off-field story with Hanley, is what I think. And I'm waiting for someone to get it. And what's sort of weird, I was thinking about this too, is that normally I'd stick Bob Holler on it or the Globe on it, except the Globe is really compromised in this regard, because if they come out with something, now you're throwing dirt on a player that you released.
Smear campaign.
And we're back to the Larry Lucchino smear campaigns and the Terry Francona and the Red Sox / Globe are and should be sensitive to that. So I think the Globe is sort of boxed out from reporting out the Hanley Ramirez thing, because whatever they uncover is throwing dirt on the guy on the way out the door. And they don't want to do that. And I wouldn't want them to do that either.
Feels like a job to me for the Herald.
This is why we have the Herald. Go find out what happened, because something did. Bob in Marlboro. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Maz, I was talking about Devers, and the reason I said Devers is not hitting is he's concentrating more on third base, and the reason he hit last year is they didn't have a book on him, and now they have a book on him.
Okay, well, those are two separate things.
Yeah, Bob, listen, if he's concentrating on defense, I got news for you. He sucks at that, too.
But, I mean, if he wants to be an everyday ball player, he's going to have to do both.
Exactly. To me, it's the approach. And look, I said to you yesterday, this is a guy who hit the ball the other way last year. Where is that going? To me, it's about his approach at the plate. Now he's hitting 230. And then there was Alex Spear in today's Globe touched on this very topic. Okay, last year he had 14 extra base hits in 240 plate appearances. 14 extra base hits to the opposite field. This year, five. Five. Less than cut in half, and he actually has more plate appearances. And then there's a comment in there from Carlos Fablis, the third base coach, which he says, you know, this is a guy who in the minors, it was easy for him to get out of a slump because of his ability to hit the ball the other way. He's not doing that. So, like, I don't know what the issue is. It feels to me like they changed something with Devers because he doesn't look like the same guy at the plate.
A couple Patriots calls on the board. Let's grab them. Brian in Woburn. Yes, Brian.
Hey, guys. Just a couple questions for Maz because he has this hot take going where he says that Brady and Bill have played in their last Super Bowl together, and I would just say the hot take police should be called on him. So, Maz, you picked the Eagles to win the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
You've hated the offseason in the draft, right?
Yes.
You think the defense sucks, right?
Yeah, I think it might be a little better than it was a year ago, but I don't know if the defense is good enough. Yes.
Okay, and you also would say that Brady's going through the motions and is now 41 years old. So you're really putting yourself out there on a limb by saying, hey, Mike, I think this is the last time they played in a Super Bowl together.
How is that a hot take? It's just a prediction, Brian.
It's a terrible prediction. It is? It's not like anything daring.
Well, so what? Who said it was daring? I don't mean to be speaking for Maz, but how old are you?
How old am I? I'm 32.
32.
So I have to. It has to be something daring. Like I have to say that Xander Bogaerts is going to hit 800.
I just don't think it's a hot take at all. I think it's. I mean.
Okay, so then why are you calling the NFL? Then why are you calling the hot take police? He just doesn't like hearing someone saying, "I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl," and that just upsets him. 32 or 8? How old are you?
Look, I just think that, and again, I never said it as a hot take. I just think that there's this expectation here with the Patriots, rightfully so, under Belichick and Brady, that every year is a Super Bowl year. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all that they've gone to their last one together.
I mean,
that's all.
Brady has gone through the motions, it feels like, the last month. Maybe the whole team is. I mean, they canceled practice this week, so they're going to have a week less than pretty much anyone else. It was what Bill wants to get down to Nantucket himself. It's nice down there this week. Screw it. Do a field day and then get the hell out of here. I mean, but then again, why a practice when you don't have a quarterback, when you've got number 58, I mean, Frank Etling throwing passes and it's rolling around on the ground all day long?
Eddie.
Danny.
So when you get, you don't even know what the quarterback's name is and he's wearing number 58, what's the point of having a passing camp? Well, just get the hell out of here and go to the beach. So I don't know. As it stands here in June, long way to go, I understand, but...
Maybe they'll put Van Noy at quarterback next.
Not exactly. Not exactly. Like it's the nose to the grindstone down there. Jules in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jules.
What's up, Mike? When Edelman got popped, I thought to myself, that sounds about right. You know, Rodney got popped. He took... Rodney got hurt. Ninkovich got hurt. They took steroids to get back. I was glad he did it, and I'm hoping he'll be back in December. Well, you guys can't take that at face value. You got to turn it into all Guerrero and TB12. They must be into it. I mean, you're making yourself sound silly.
I think you sound silly. Why would you not look at his trainer? Every other guy that has a PED test has a bad trainer behind him. You don't think he has a bad trainer behind him?
You automatically went to him. I thought that was you're stretching and trying to dramatize the situation.
No, that's his trainer, so that's who I go to. If his trainer was in Tallahassee, I'd go to his trainer in Tallahassee.
Is it really his trainer?
Yeah, that's his trainer.
Okay. Another thing, can I say something on Kraft and Maz?
No, Jules, who is his trainer?
Well, I mean, he looks at him, he goes to him, he goes and works with the team. He's not just TB12.
So you blame the team?
So is the team?
I'm blaming Edelman. That's who I blame, the man who did it. Not everybody who's trying to help him out.
Aha. Okay. What's your next point?
All right.
Yes.
All right. So, Maz, on Brady... You're saying that Kraft traded Jimmy because personal feelings and whatnot for Brady, right?
Yes. I think he put his loyalty to Brady before the long-term health of the football operation, and that's unlike them.
Right. So we traded Jimmy so we could have went 3 out of 4, right?
Jules, why don't you just give us your take?
Yeah, what's your point, Jules?
Why are we quizzing everybody? What's your take?
Hold on. All right. Here it goes. We could have went 3 out of 4. We could have gone... 4 out of 5 and 5 out of 6. We could have been the Habs. We could have been the Yankees. That's why Kraft did it.
Okay, but again, so that is assuming that Brady maintains his level of play. And if they win three more Super Bowls with Brady, then I don't think anybody's going to bitch about it. I mean, even I would have to shut up at that point, although if I were you, I would necessarily bet on that. But the whole idea is that they're going to get, you know, great elite performance out of Brady for that period of time. To me, I still think keeping Garoppolo for 10, 15 years, whatever the number is the way to go. Okay, that's the way I'd go, because it would give you a longer window, would extend that window to win championships. That's what I believe.
Patriots fans have got their panties in a bunch there, Maz.
I mean, they just lost.
It's been a tough month.
They just lost to Philly, and this guy had them winning three more after the Philly game. Like,
making it all up. It's fake news. There's nothing going on behind the scenes.
I mean, what do you want me to tell you? And I'm sorry that there's a line drawn to Edelman's trainer. Like,
no, don't apologize. There is. Like, and the guy has a shady past. There's nothing to apologize
for. I mean, I have yet to encounter a professional athlete who is so dialed in to the chemistry that he could devise his own drug program. Like, I have yet to find that guy. There's always a trainer that says, here's what you got to take and here's how you mask it.
Unfortunately, his trainer works out of Gillette. So that's just unfortunate for you. Because I know you're sensitive to it. Trust me, if his agent worked in Cleveland, I'd go right to his agent who worked in Cleveland, and you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care that I was casting aspersions on the agent and the trainer in Cleveland. You wouldn't care. You only care because it's also Brady's trainer, and he's linked to the Patriots, and so it looks bad for you, and it feels bad for you because you're a fan. But trust me. Beadle and Zoe were talking about this before, that Edelman's worked with other trainers. There's an outfit that he works with out of Arizona.
Yeah.
So maybe it's them.
I think it's that old, what do they call it, API, that Athletes Performance Institute?
Whoever they are, give me them. I'll go to them, and I'll blame them. You won't mind that. You won't mind me jumping to conclusions or casting aspersions on the API people because they're out in Arizona and they don't train Brady.
And I don't even know if it's API, but...
So you don't care about that.
But that place is shady, too.
You just care about that it's linked to Brady. That's what you care about. You don't care about aspersions or right or wrong or any of that. You just care about the Brady thing, which is okay. We'll get to the... Mannix has some interesting things to say about LeBron. Let's get to that right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The
Sports Hub.
The Lakers are absolutely going to go after LeBron and Paul George. And, you know, maybe some other players, because I do think they can improve very quickly. The question is, even if they get Paul George and LeBron, let me just spot them that, you know, making it the greatest offseason acquisition really since Shaquille O'Neal. I still don't think that team is beating Golden State, and I think it's really going to be hard-pressed to beat Houston. Now, I can't see the future. I can't see injuries. I can't see health. I can't see trades. I can't see if Brandon Ingram turns into an all-star. But just because LeBron and Paul George get there doesn't mean that team's going to be a championship team right away.
Brian Windhorst on LeBron to the Lakers. Is that a growing consensus? Murray, is that what everyone's saying? And that's a fait accompli? LeBron to the Lakers?
That's what it feels like. And I know the Vegas odds changed overnight. Jimmy, you knew more about this, right? Lifshatz had some sort of scoop?
Yeah, the odds in Vegas saying that LeBron's choosing his family, and his family wants to go to Los Angeles, so the King James is going to be a Laker.
And so that's what the odds-on favorite is now, huh?
Yeah, and there was another rumor out there, too, that Gary Payton, apparently, you know, the former guard.
Yeah. Glove?
Yeah.
Glove.
Did some sort of podcast or interview or something.
It was on Black Sports Online.
Okay.
The quality of the audio is tedious, otherwise I'd play it for you right now.
It's okay, no, BSO.
But that he said LeBron's already enrolled his son in private school in L.A. and the school has denied it and blah, 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 but that's out there too.
Okay, so I wonder if that's the case. Is that a good spot for him? Let me tell you, it's good for the league.
Sure, it's great for the league.
It's good for the league. The league's better off when the Celtics and the Lakers are good. I would add the Knicks, but they're never good. So,
But in terms of him actually winning a championship, no.
Well, I think that's a really compelling Western Conference. Should be some compelling playoffs with LeBron, and if this all happens, LeBron and Paul George against Houston or Golden State. Like that's, I think you have a more competitive league. I think that spreads out. I think that gives you another viable team. Let's put it to you like that. Do they beat the Warriors though? Do they beat the Rockets?
No. They might beat the Rockets. I don't rule that out because I don't think much of James Harden. You know that. But Golden State? No, they're not good enough to beat Golden State. Unless, you know, there's some other element in that whole story that surprises you when they get, you know, a third or fourth player, then all of a sudden everything changes. But in the scenario, LeBron, George, and some young guys, no.
Not enough.
I have a scenario for you if you're interested.
I'm interested.
Lakers sign LeBron, and then they work out a trade with OKC. Paul George was opt-in, and they would also get Russell Westbrook. And the Lakers would have to trade Ingram, Lonzo Ball, all this money, and they could do it, and there's your big three to Los Angeles. The math works where the players go. You can do on your own time, but the math to get all three, LeBron, Westbrook, and Paul George to the Lakers, it works.
Mm. Now.
Not good enough.
How's that team?
Not good enough.
Really?
Westbrook, Paul George, and LeBron?
Westbrook and LeBron would kill each other. Let me rephrase. LeBron would kill Westbrook. He would kill him. Westbrook, look, the athleticism with Westbrook and the ability is there. Kevin Durant couldn't get rid of that guy fast enough. He just wanted to run. And so I think LeBron and Westbrook would be an accident waiting to happen.
Okay, so there's that. Now, how about LeBron to the Celtics? I'm still not letting this die because I think this is the best spot for him. We had Chris Mannix on earlier to talk about the heavyweight stuff, but we asked him some basketball questions. I thought he had something interesting on LeBron's viability to Boston. I asked him to handicap that, LeBron to Boston. Handicap LeBron to the Celtics. Any shot?
1%. And that's only if, in a phone call with the Celtics, LeBron's people say wants a four-year deal. If LeBron continues to be a one-plus-one type of guy, why would you break up your roster for him? I understand he's the greatest player in the world, but if he's only going to commit to you for 1 year, why do you change a team that is already on a championship path?
If he commits to four, you think the Celtics would consider it?
I think they'd consider it if he said, I'm a four-year guy, maybe the fifth year on a sign-and-trade. Why wouldn't you? If you can get him for four years, you absolutely have to consider.
Okay. If I'm LeBron, I give him 4 years.
He won't. Go ahead.
No, but this is right. Like, this is the fault line because we've been debating. Can LeBron change? Can LeBron fit in? Can LeBron be less of a pain in the ass, less of a, you know, can he assimilate into a program as opposed to being the guy? And wouldn't that really be the tell? His contract. You know, the money's the money. But if he's one plus one, he still has the leverage. He's holding you hostage. Do I stay? Do I go? And you've got to bend over backward to keep LeBron. If he signs for 4 years and none of those opt-outs or none of those things, then you have the leverage over him, and that's the tell.
It's the only way I would do it if I was the Celtics. The only way I'd do it. You got to give me, I think I said to you when we were sort of, you know, spitballing it, 5 years. Give me five and we'll talk.
Okay.
Otherwise, LeBron, now 4 or 5, okay, we're splitting hairs, but he even Mannix said 5 with an option and a sign and trade. So, like, to me, that's the only way because it gives you leverage. Otherwise, LeBron has the leverage and you can't do it.
If LeBron, I'm doing it. If I'm LeBron and you're serious about championships?
Do you think he is?
I do.
See, I don't.
You don't think he's serious about championships?
I mean, he's serious about it.
But to the point where he signs that 4 year versus the 1-1, so that, you know, then I would stop and say, I don't know. I don't know if he'd be willing to sign that away. Because he's just, I mean, look, I think he can come back and be somewhat normal, but can he go all the way back where he's now signing a 4 year deal and really putting himself at the mercy of the team? I don't know if he's come that far.
See, I don't think he would. And again, to me, what LeBron is great at is business. He's a great businessman. Great. But if he really wanted to put winning above all else, by now he would have done it. And look, it's, you know, people change. Don't get me wrong. You get to the end of your career and you start putting value and emphasis on different things. You say, I'm not going to be around here forever. But if he goes to the Lakers, how's that the best basketball decision?
No, it's not.
Again, depending on what else goes with him. Okay, fine. We can wait and see how all that shakes out.
No, if it's basketball, it's here.
I just can't.
It's still not. But whatever they put together in L.A., it's still not a better call than here.
I just think LeBron won't do anything that leaves him without leverage. He won't. He's too smart. He knows his talent is his greatest asset. Everybody wants his talent, so he leverages people with that.
So if he would commit to 4 years, would you move on from Kyrie for LeBron?
I told you 5 initially, but just for the sake of argument, sure.
So Chris Mannix agreed with that. Did you have that? Did you cut that one, Jimmy, that follow-up on Kyrie? So, you know, that's, again, would you be willing to do that if LeBron committed?
How real are the concerns about not being able to re-sign Kyrie?
There's the one before, I think, Jimmy. So, you know, like, I get it. I think that crystallized it, though, what Mannix said, though. If he's just going to be 1-1 with the opt-out, he's not really committing to you, right? And that's not really committing to you. That's still sort of a wait and see. What do you got? Then I'll stay.
I mean, remember.
And then again, he has the leverage.
When he went back to Cleveland, all he would initially give him out of the gate was a couple of years.
Isn't what all these guys are doing, though? Didn't Durant go there for Golden State with the 1-1?
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do with that whole being able to re-sign and get the max money. Like, you know,
yeah.
So now, look, I don't, you know, in the like I saw something today where Draymond Green is not going to negotiate with the Warriors this summer. He's going to wait, and then he's going to get the Superman.
Would you move on from Kyrie if LeBron guaranteed you the 4, Chris? Would you move on from Kyrie if that's what it took to get LeBron?
I think you'd have to. I mean, you know, Kyrie's a strange dude, and maybe he can find a way to coexist. But my understanding all along has been that Kyrie wanted out of Cleveland because he didn't want to play with LeBron James anymore. And why would that change in a year in a different city?
Okay, so there's that. There's the latest on LeBron. Add it to the list. Get right to you after Murray's update again. Robert Kraft today. Shot down vehemently a vicious rumor that was going around late last week. Murray will give you the details on that, and we discuss everything right after this.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How real are the concerns about not being able to re-sign Kyrie here?
I think they're legitimate. I mean, I was the one that reported it last week that you know, there's no guarantee he comes back. But it could be considered on the other side, too. I mean, Kyrie, you know, these knee issues, everybody's kind of assuming he's going to be ready for training camp and all will be well. 3 knee surgeries in 2 years. What happens if he has some injury issues during next season? He's going to want the 5-year full max offer, $200-plus million. Not only might it be a Kyrie thing, but from a Boston perspective, do you commit to a guy, even though he's still 26, 27, for 5 years full max?
Okay, I'm going to give you a hockey minute here in a second, but we're just following up again on Mannix and what we've talked on so far. You were shaking your head when you heard that initially.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the 3 knee surgeries in 2 years, when you hear that comment, like when it's put that way, it does make you sort of say, oof.
I don't know why so many people overlook it, though. Like, they do. They do overlook it.
I admit, I'm one of them.
The way it was, when Kyrie went back in for that surgery, it was like, oh, good news, everybody. Kyrie's going to be back to start next year. He went in for another surgery. Like, I don't get how it's like.
No, listen. I completely gloss it over. And I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it's because it's a bone thing versus a ligament thing, you know, like, or it's just that modern medicine ACL, and it wasn't an ACL with him, it was a broken kneecap. But beyond that, like, you sort of say, ah, they heal and they get back out there, he'll be fine. In that way, don't you think Kyrie's going to be completely focused, like, doing all his rehab? It's a huge year for him. Like, they are going to get the best Kyrie this year.
Oh, no, he wants to be healthy. I'm not. That's never been my thing. Can he stay healthy? Is he just an undurable,
brittle
basketball player?
It's a good question.
Okay, so like that, you've got to factor that in for sure. And that factors into my whole LeBron thinking as well, that you'd have to move on from Kyrie to get LeBron. Like, I think I could live with that because I'm a little nervous. I'm sketchy about Kyrie's health going forward, for sure. I don't know why you wouldn't be. All right, back to your calls. As promised again, I do have a hockey thought for you here in 1 second. Jeff in Dover, though, on LeBron. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, bear with me for a minute. But Durant is a free agent as well. What do you think of the Cupcake and the King going together to hit L.A. and try to win a title together with the Lakers?
Okay, Durant joining LeBron with the Lakers.
I mean, he's basically already committed verbally to Golden State, so I don't see this happening. But I know there's a clip out there, Beadle and Zoe played, Brian Windhorst was saying that LeBron should be on the phone trying to convince Kevin Durant to join him in Los Angeles.
I mean, I have a hard time believing it. I shouldn't say I have a hard time believing it. I mean, in that league, anything's possible.
But Durant's a good example of someone who is going to re-sign with the Warriors, says he's going to re-sign with the Warriors, but he's opting out because that's how he gets his most money.
Right.
Right? So this is what I'm telling you about Kyrie. Him not committing is notable. Not that he's opting out. They all opt out to max the amount of money they can make. But Durant has made it clear he's returning to the Warriors, right? Why can't Kyrie do the same? He can.
Well, the only difference is he can. He totally can.
But he's not. So I would say, why isn't he?
He's also not officially up right now, like Kevin Durant is.
But you can say it whenever you want. I want to be a Celtic for life. I'm a Celtic. I want to win championships here. Plural. I want to be here.
Well, because unlike Durant, he didn't pick the Celtics.
Nothing precludes you from saying that. You can say that and still opt out.
Well, all these guys want to be wined and dined and pampered, and you know that's that league, man. They all are a bunch of divas.
I mean, it's scary. When I think you're nuts if you think that it's locked in that Kyrie's staying.
Cam Taunton on the Red Sox and John Henry. Go ahead, Cam.
Guys, you had a call about an hour ago saying that Liverpool was hurting John Henry, and that couldn't be further from the truth. Liverpool is helping him tremendously. They've become a European superpower. What's hurting John Henry is Roush Racing, because NASCAR is tanking tremendously. All of their superstar drivers have retired in recent years. They're losing sponsor after sponsor. His team that he owns has won 2 races in 5 years. That's what's killing John Henry. He's got to get out of that somehow. It's a bad investment. It was a good investment at first because when he bought that team, it was a superpower. They've sucked for about 5 years now. They just had to bring a veteran out of retirement to get in the headlines. He needs to get out of that. That's killing him.
How's NASCAR in general?
It's dying. Yeah. You show up to a race and you know one of three guys is going to win. It's become the NBA.
Okay, so no matter how many of these guys, these billionaires, tell me that, oh, you know, what my soccer team doesn't impact my baseball team, and what my basketball team doesn't impact my football team, and what my, whatever, my widget business does not impact my football team, and I don't believe any of them. I don't believe any of them. It all goes back to one pocket. So, of course, it's a factor. And so I've always thought that John Henry's interests elsewhere impact here, positively and negatively. If Liverpool's putting money in his pocket, that's good for the Red Sox. Maybe he's more willing to go into the tax and take less here with the Red Sox. If Roush is killing him, then he's less. I think that's all related. Exactly how it is related, I don't know, but I never believe them when they say it's separate. It's all one portfolio, going back to the same place. Rich in Southie. Hi, Rich.
Hey, what's up, boys? Hey, listen, Felger Mez, how have you guys not looked into Hanley and the TV that he was doing at the beginning of the year?
Because I don't think that gets
one
you.
One other thing for Catboy, the one big bag. Do you put a week's worth of cat crap in that bag? Hashtag one big D bag.
Oh, yeah, no, that's a whole week's worth of cat crap in there, too, and pee.
That's a horrible bag. What a disgusting bag you have in your kitchen.
It has to be that big.
I like what the caller said. One big D bag. That's a better way.
So we were saying Hanley. There's got to be something with Hanley. Because not just you moving on from him, the Red Sox moving on from him so abruptly. No one's picked him up, and he's free.
See, that's the part that should tell you more than anything.
He's a .380 lifetime postseason hitter. Houston has no DH. Seattle has no DH. They're both in the playoffs if they started today. And it feels like Hanley hasn't even gotten a call. Why? What happened? What's going on with Hanley? So the caller says, well, he's on the TB12 method. Teams know he's dirty. To which I'm saying, teams don't care if he's dirty. Not PEDs. They don't care about that. Even if that's what he's doing. I mean, if you just want to go there and say that's what's happening with Hanley, that's not enough to get you cut or not signed.
No, in fact, I think it would have worked in the Red Sox favor.
They're happy to have you on PEDs as long as you're passing your tests, and it feels like Hanley's passed his tests.
Well, and in the case of Hanley, too, it would have eliminated that whole option for next year. He wouldn't get it if he's serving an 80-game suspension.
Right.
So they're better off. They're almost, no, he wouldn't have been able to play for him in the playoffs. But that aside, they had him in September.
I don't think it's a PED thing. Maybe it's a different drug thing. I don't know, but it's something like that. Like, and that's what I'm saying. I think there's something off the field with Hanley. That's beyond just him being a pain in the ass about his plate appearances. Because otherwise, seriously, he's a .380 postseason hitter. No one has made a call. And I just say that because there's been no linkage, there's been no visit, there's been no conversation. I just Googled the story. Google Hanley Ramirez.
Nothing.
There's nothing. There's not even a reported story or interest or anything.
I know, it's bizarre.
And Houston, too. So the other thing, too, not only his postseason numbers, and you brought him up before at the time that the move happened, his numbers against the Yankees, lifetime, .273, 15 home runs, 40 RBI. So if you're the Houston Astros and you're really getting nothing out of Evan Gattis, why not pick up the phone and call this guy? There's something else going on. He's toxic. There's something else going on.
I mean, it does feel that way again, and there are rumors out there about Hanley. The only way to know is if he ends up somewhere and signs, and then that's it. Then you know that whatever it was that was out there wasn't real or it wasn't concrete, and so he's fine. But the fact that he's still out there blows me away.
Coming up next, I'm going to give you something for free.
I mean, just to give you an idea, Adam Lind signed with the Red Sox. Adam Lind. Or Lind, depending on how you...
I thought it was Lind.
Okay, either way. I say Lind because of those... Anyway, he gets a job and Hanley doesn't? Like, I don't know. That doesn't sound right.
Coming up next, I'm giving something away for free, as I was saying, which I know you're most interested in. We'll also have a hockey minute for you, in which we will discuss the Bruins' latest plan to give someone who can score next to David Krejci. Wait till you hear what they've apparently got in mind. and how we feel about that. And Robert Kraft addresses the Rob Gronkowski trade rumors. That's a lot to chew on, and we'll do it right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, three things for you this segment. One is a giveaway. That'll be at the end of the segment, something for free. And could help you with your Father's Day stuff as well. That's at the end of the segment. I got some craft stuff here on the Gronkowski trade. But first, Hockey Minute. Ready? Pierre Lebrun, longtime National Hockey League reporter, tweeted out this today. Further to what my TSN colleague Darren Dreger reported over the weekend when he tweeted that Ilya Kovalchuk, that's right, Ilya Kovalchuk, remember him? Atlanta Thrashers, New Jersey Devils, goal-scoring machine Russian, bolted for Russia and the KHL 5 years ago. Apparently he wants back in the NHL. Dreger reported over the weekend that Kovalchuk has weekend visits with the Los Angeles Kings and San Jose Sharks. My sense of the market for the Russian winger, says Lebrun, is made up of two groups. The top contenders, I believe, are the Kings, the Bruins, the Rangers, and the Sharks. So he has four top contenders. He lists the Bruins second. The Kings, the Bruins, the Rangers, and the Sharks. He says, then I think there's a second group of teams, including Detroit, blah, 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 blah. Lebrun has the Bruins in on Ilya Kovalchuk. Presumably to skate on the wing of David Krejci. Your thoughts?
I hate it. I mean, he's been out of the league 5 years.
Five effing years.
And he's only 35 years old. Like, I was surprised by that. I didn't realize he left so young when he left. But I just, you know, to me, like, that's their solution. No, I don't know. Maybe the guy's still playing great. But his last year in the NHL, he played in 37 games. He had 11 goals.
Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. What are you doing? You shouldn't be adding more age to David Krejci's line. You should be, frankly, looking to move on from David Krejci, not adding to David Krejci. You've got this backwards. You're a 35-year-old. You imagine, you know, Kovalchuk has been known to have the dog in him. You know, like a lot of the European guys, you know, unfortunately, and some of the Russian guys, they just sort of have that reputation. And Kovalchuk was one of them. David Krejci ain't exactly, you know, emptying the bucket for you every night either.
What if the price is right?
You're going to put Kovalchuk next to... I don't care if he's cost you 10 cents.
Him or Riley Nash. Rick Nash. Rather.
Neither. I don't need to get older next to David Krejci. I need to get younger at center instead of David Krejci. I need to move on from David Krejci, not adding more old guys next to him.
Okay, but they're not going to move on from Krejci, I don't think.
Which is unfortunate. They should be looking to do that. That is where they should be looking to save money and getting younger.
Okay, but even if they are looking to do it, they may not be able to.
Understood.
So just assume Krejci's here.
Okay.
Yes or no?
On Kovalchuk? No.
Okay.
No. Hell no. I want another Jake DeBrus next to him. I don't want to get older. I don't want to get older next to David Krejci. I want to get younger next to David Krejci or younger in place of David Krejci. Not adding another old guy to him. Like, enough. Like, it's okay. Jerome Iginla,
Rick Nash.
Rick Nash.
Yager.
Was there Yager? Was there someone in between? I was trying to figure. Was there someone between Iginla and Yager
Lee
and
Stepniak?
Rick Nash? I mean, I don't want another old guy next to David Krejci. I want another young guy next to David Krejci. Ideally, I want a young guy in place of David Krejci, and I want David Krejci's money off the books. Because he ain't getting better. The arrow has ceased to point up on David Krejci for a long time.
But if it's just for next year, it looks like to me this is just a tweak, and they think that they're a Stanley Cup contender, which they are.
Fah.
I like him better than Rick Nash. If you can get him for like a 1 year, $5-6 million, like why
too
the
much.
Hell not?
I don't
too
want
much.
Either. I don't want either.
I don't want either one either. I don't want Nash.
I don't want Rick Nash back. No thanks. But I'd take this guy over him.
This guy, I mean, you thought Rick Nash disappeared. Wait till you see this guy. Wait till you see Ilya Kovalchuk. No, thank you. I mean, I just think the whole approach is cockamamie. What are you doing? You're a good young team that's developing, and you're getting faster. And by the day, I get a 35-year-old guy who's been playing the KHL for 5 years. I don't care how talented he once was. No way.
What's Russian for the magician?
Jeez, I don't know.
This guy, poof.
Okay, so anyway.
Disappear.
There's your hockey minute. I think that's a backwards flight. We're going to add another old guy to David Krejci? No. You should be looking to get younger in place of David Krejci.
Drew Stafford might be available.
Never mind adding. No, thank you. I don't need that either. You're bursting at the seams with all these forwards down in Providence.
I tell you, the Bruins love this kind of guy, though, don't they?
Like, yes.
Again, Recchi worked, but Ginla, and, you know, this year it was Jonta. Like, you know, they're always getting the guy who's, like, right on the edge of being gone. They can get for short money and take a shot. And, look, I get the logic there. But in the case of Krejci, they get all these young players coming. You're going to take away ice time from one of those guys to put him with Krejci?
All right, so anyway, there's your hockey minute. Here's, and again, I have a giveaway coming up in a few minutes. Here's Robert Kraft today speaking at an event, a Myra Kraft event, I believe, in which he addresses the Rob Gronkowski trade rumors from last Friday.
When your team is good, people are looking for things. And I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash that I vetoed some trade. That was never in the works. It's just completely made up. And I think we have to be careful in society today that people just can't come out and say things. And this bit about us trading Gronk to the 49ers or Tennessee, it just... there's no basis to it, and it gets a life of its own. And I just want to go on record at today's event to make sure that you all understand that there's no truth to that. And I don't, people shouldn't be able to do that.
Your thoughts?
Well, to me, whenever the owner of the team comes out and addresses the story directly, you know, I sort of raise my antenna and say, what is it about this story that made them come out? Because there's lots of stuff that gets out there that is usually off base, depends on how much, I suppose, that they never really address, right? So why this one? And to me, it's because there's a sensitivity around it. And forget about the fans, I'm talking about by the principals.
Oh, no. The third rail, the ownership interceding is the third rail. It's the third rail. It's why the Garoppolo thing was so hot. So hot internally, externally, like such a story, because... that is the third rail for all these guys, but especially this group and the track record and the history of Kraft and Parcells and Belichick and Parcells and control and groceries and why Parcells left in the first place and how you got Belichick in the meantime. And like that is the third rail.
So it's this one on top of the Garoppolo one, right? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying anything that involves ownership interceding in a football decision is toxic. And I believe it happens. I believe
it
happens.
Well, of course it happens.
But Kraft being labeled with it is, to them, toxic, and they want to douse that as strongly as they can, which isn't to say that it doesn't happen, which isn't to say that I totally believe Kraft. Like and what I mean by that is, the thing that was reported on Friday, I think that's easily deniable, and I believe him as far as that goes. Like, you know, the way that was portrayed on Friday, there was this dramatic meeting in Kraft's office on Friday where Belichick had Gronk traded, Brady threatened to retire, and Kraft interceded and stopped the trade. Like, that happened all in one shot in the office, and like, no, that didn't happen. Like, I got it. So Kraft's, like, I believe that as far as that goes. But we discussed this yesterday. There was a point in this offseason when Brady was non-committal about playing next year. He had Adam Schefter, and it was leaked out. Schefter came out in no uncertain terms on April 18th. Brady is not committed to the 2018 season. That occurred right in the middle of Rob Gronkowski threatening retirement, hinting at going to wrestling, having that horrible motocross press conference where we all thought that's like a man who wants to get traded. And then Rob Gronkowski meets with Belichick a couple days later and says, no, I'm actually going to be here, and I'm going to play, and I'm going to play for the Patriots. And then shortly thereafter, Brady, I think, spoke with Jim Gray and said, yeah, I'm going to play, or, you know, like that all sort of happened over a period. We did this yesterday. So I think, broadly speaking, I think Gronkowski was talked about in trades. I think it's entirely possible Bill had something worked out. I think it's entirely possible Brady got wind of it and said, well, if you're doing that, I'm not sure about my commitment level. And I think it's entirely possible that Kraft looked at that whole thing and said, hey, guys, what are we doing here? Let's figure this all out. I mean, that... it's not as dramatic or as immediate as it was portrayed in that report last Friday, but I think broadly speaking, something along those lines probably happened in late April over a period of time. So I don't know. I mean, I just think that the Friday thing was easy for Kraft to deny, and so he did. And so he did. So we'll take your thoughts on that.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.